Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Absolutely, man. It's complete silence, and because our first concern is Tua. You know, at the end of the day, man. You know, football. You know, it's a game, but you know, we're human beings, you know, outside of this game, and we all have feelings. So, in that moment, I think you saw how everyone felt about Tua. He's, you know, captain on his team and a leader, and guys have so much respect for him. So, you know, the silence, man, was, you know, just guys showing their concern.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I am Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher. Fellas, we have a lot to get through today, but no better place to start than Thursday Night Football, where, gotta be honest, we have to start with
Are you sure?
The best for Tua.
Are you sure that's where you want to start?
It's absolutely.
I mean, we're at a massive table. We're at the biggest table of all time.
I wanted to see how long we can go without addressing it.
No.
You didn't allow it at all.
I got here. Like, we were on this small little table. We were basically all making out with three people. We're like, we need a bigger table.
Yes.
And they were like, all right, F you, Barry. We're going to get you a big table. We're gonna put it in the entire, we had to build a whole other wing.
The ends are out of the shot.
Right, out of the shot. Yeah, I mean, like, you can't even see. We still have the pinball machine. You can't even see it here. Let's paint this red, and suddenly, you know, we're like Jada Pinkett Smith.
So you love it.
Like, what?
So you obviously love it. Jay, what are your thoughts?
I ruined the Sixth Sense and Fight Club yesterday, and now we get this ship.
Yeah, exactly.
The ship.
Yeah, 100%. I just enjoy this table today. It's all I'm going to say, boys.
I feel like by the end of the show, we'll be buried all the way behind it. It's just going to be you two again as a normal.
Is that Matthew Berry? I mean, it is. It's a little like, hi.
Are we screaming at each other?
We're not. I mean, it is a little bit. It is a little bit like some of those joke tables that you see like in movies where you're just like, it's two people at the very end of each, you know, a super long table, and there's two people at the very end. I'm trying to think of like, where's a movie that you've seen that scene?
I'll think about it.
What spoiler you got for us today?
Yeah, I'll tell you how that scene is.
I feel like there's a scene like that in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, but I could be wrong on that one.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that one. Maybe we do a whole podcast on Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, because there's nothing but twists in that movie, and you can just spoil like 18 different things in that particular movie, Jay Croucher. All right, Connor, let's...
Right. So you want to do Thursday Night Football?
Let's talk Thursday Night Football.
Let's talk Thursday Night Football. Obviously, best wishes to Tua and his recovery.
That was awful.
Terrible to watch, quite frankly. 50 times in a row, it felt like we watched it.
A lot of the replay. I'm just going to say this. I know there's a lot of discussion out there about should he have been playing and the concussion protocols, and did the Dolphins go through the proper steps? Should he have been cleared to play? Should he have cleared to come back on Sunday? Should he have been... I get all those conversations, and those are really important conversations. And by the way, Mike Florio did a deep dive on that this morning on Pro Football Talk. You go listen to that, find that, profootballtalk.com. That's not our show. That's not our show.
No.
Our show is about fantasy football and big tables. That's what we do here. And so what I would say here is I just want to focus on two things. Number one is that I think I speak collectively for the three of us and everyone that works on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, that is like prayers for Tua, right?
Yes.
That looked awful. And we are, most importantly, hoping for that young man's safety and that the initial reports were good, that he flew home with a team, and, you know, and so, and has moved into his extremities. So, like, that's all awesome, and we're, again, we are prayers up for Tua. And then the second thing is, just fantasy football-wise, if the Dolphins are without Tua Tagovailoa, what does this offense look like under Teddy Bridgewater for however long Tua may or may not be out?
That's the biggest thing. I mean, how big of a change is it? We know they have a mastermind in Mike McDaniel. We know they have arguably one of the most fun wide receiver of duos we've seen in a long time. But under center, how much of an impact is there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It caps their upside to some extent because Tua, just because he's less proven and less known, has more upside, and he was phenomenal in the first three weeks. But at the same time, like, Teddy Bridgewater is about as good as a backup quarterback as there is out there. He was solid for Denver, 18 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He also threw the ball 61 yards in the air last night to Tyreek Hill, which is ridiculous. So I think that Tyreek Hill is, at this point, basically quarterback agnostic. Tyreek Hill is just going to deliver, but obviously it caps their upside.
Do you agree with that?
I do, but I think for our purposes, which is, are we still starting Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill?
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
I mean, that's the answer. And is their value going to remain more or less the same? I was encouraged by that big bomb that you mentioned there. By the way, that was a 64-yard completion. It went 61 0.4 air yards per season, as you see it here on your screen for those watching live on Peacock or on demand, as Teddy Bridgewater goes back. And so check down
Teddy. Is that Justin Herbert?
No, exactly. He chucks it long. It's a little bit of a bobble, but Tyreek Hill comes down with it. Ultimately, that is a 64-yard completion from Bridgewater to Tyreek Hill, and that is the longest completion by air yards this season by any quarterback in the NFL. Not Josh Allen. You know, not Aaron Rodgers, not Mahomes.
Teddy B.
Check down Teddy has that. So I think that given this offense, that McDaniel's going to be like, look, dude, we got a couple of burners here. Like, you ain't going to be able to just dump it off to Chase Edmonds here. You are going to have to take shots. And that's what they did. So, you know, I was encouraged by that. He still is Teddy Bridgewater. And, you know, he threw the bad pick. And whether that was the wrong route or whether he just completely missed Gesicki, we'll see it. Bummed me out because there's a person at this table with two thumbs that had the Dolphins plus 3.5, and it's this guy. And so I was looking good, I felt like, while Tua was still in the game.
I will say, just quickly, producer Brian Rubin, he asked me this morning if Skylar Thompson was a dark horse bet for Offensive Rookie of the Year. No, Skylar was Bryan Cranston's wife on Breaking Bad, not an Offensive Rookie of the Year candidate.
Fan, well done. Skylar White, by the way, officially the worst character in TV history.
That's correct.
That you're supposed to root for.
That's the caveat. That's the
like,
key.
Because there are guys, like, there, when you think about, like, Game of Thrones, when you think about, like, Ramsay's Bolton, like, you hate Ramsay's Bolton, but you're supposed to hate Ramsay's Bolton. He's a bad guy. And that's not a spoiler, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you any of the things that Ramsay's does, but he's
can't
a bad
on
guy.
This show.
You can't, right. Fair. But but of all of characters you're supposed to root for and like, Walter White's wife in Breaking Bad, one of the top five television series of all time, is my argument for the worst character in TV history that you were supposed to like.
Okay, that's fair. We had a whole thing off air about that, but I think that, I don't know, I think that the fact that she's unlikable makes Walter White more likable, which is part of the game, but anyway.
I wonder if Vince Gilligan has been asked about that. I haven't done the deep dive into Breaking Bad, you know, I watched the show and it's brilliant and it deserves every award and accolade that it got. That's an interesting take on it. They wrote that character so, anyway.
Anyway, all right.
We're off
steer
the
us back onto the highway here.
You, Connor,
we covered
please.
The Dolphins wide receivers. Big night for Tyreek Hill. 6 of those 10 catches were for first downs, 3 of them for over 15 yards. Jalen Waddle, not the same.
Tough game, not worried about it, though. I mean, he's so explosive. He's a talented player. We've seen him, you know, again, this was a short week on the road, and they lose their starting quarterback in an awful fashion. And so I don't think there's much you can take away from this game for there. I think there is, if there's one other thing, Connor, that I would take away from this game, it's just that it feels like we have a little bit more of a pecking order now with the running backs here. Mostert, career highs in offensive snaps and routes run. He ran 26 routes in this game. He out-carried Trace Edmonds 15-5. He out-snapped him 46-18.
It's not even close, that number.
And now, I mean, Edmonds gets the touchdown. He could have actually had two because he had the bad drop early on. But to me, it feels like at least there's a floor with Edmonds, there's a floor with Mostert. At least there's a floor with Mostert, whereas with Edmonds, you're hoping for those scores. And now he's got three touchdowns in the last two games. So, okay. But it feels like, and maybe he gets a little bit more value if Teddy Bridgewater winds up becoming the starting quarterback for the Dolphins for any period of time here. But for me, I feel like Raheem Mostert, based on the usage, got himself into flex play territory now, whereas Edmonds is more shaky.
Raheem
the
dream.
Yeah, the transition here.
Every time this guy's healthy, he's an elite talent at running back. All he does is average 5 yards per carry. Yeah. Like, he's just a monster.
And also must start.
Yes, he didn't get the touchdown, and it kind of got vultured from him a little bit, even though it was through the air. But he did get two goal line carries at the end, just didn't get it in. He's definitely the guy you want in Miami going forward.
Yeah, and the familiarity with Mike McDaniel, once again, we say it every week. Mike McDaniel's job for a long time in San Francisco was orchestrating the run game. And back then, he was leaning on Mostert. Unfortunately, injuries didn't go his way. Now they seem to be going on the right track. Let's move over to the Bengals. Joe Burrow, solid fantasy night, the two touchdowns. It was a slow start for Joe Burrow, but obviously got back on track here. Now back-to-back 20-plus fantasy point games after going under 20 the first two. Are you feeling a little better about Burrow after that tough two-week stretch?
Yeah, sure. I think you have to be. We knew the talent here, and anytime you get a chance to throw to guys like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, you feel good about this. 31 pass attempts in what was a pretty low-scoring, slow-paced game. But this is what Joe Burrow is. He's not going to run a ton, generally speaking, but they are going to throw it a bunch, especially when you think about how much the run game is struggling here. I mean, they did everything possible to make Joe Mixon work in this game. They gave him 28 touches in this game. Massive volume for Joe Mixon. And, you know, like, he pays off for you. He pays off for you because he gets in the end zone despite, you know, he should have had multiple. I mean, like, you know, six or seven goal line carries in this one, and he only converted the one early in the game. But 2.5 yards per rush so far, and they weren't using him. He got four targets in the passing game, but it was well snuffed out. We liked, and by we, I really mean me, but I'm trying to include you in my misery. I liked the over on his receiving yards, which was 21.5, and that was a bet that I gave out yesterday. He had hit that two of the last three, and Dolphins have struggled in receiving yards allowed to opposing running backs, but not in this one. Just four receptions, 13 yards. The under hits, which is not what I bet, so apologies out there for that one. We will do better this weekend on that one. But, you know, I mean, but to me, the struggles of the run game, you know, favor Joe Burrow's passing volume, which he continues to be a low-end QB1.
Why is this team running the ball 30 times last night for 67 yards?
Yeah,
I'm completely out on Zach Taylor in terms of optimizing that passing and that offense. I mean, they were successful throwing it through the air. Burrow, despite getting less pass attempts than he really should have, still able to put up some good numbers. But yeah, I would be very concerned because I think deep down in his heart, Zach Taylor, he wants to run the ball for 3 yards a carry and punt on 4th-and-1 or kick field goals. He's a very conservative coach. I think that's going to limit the absolute top-end ceiling of Burrow and Chase and Higgins, who are all going to be fine because they're superstar talents, but they're just not going to see the volume they should.
I didn't hear anything you said. You're kind of way down there, but you made a lot of noises. I read your mouth, and I agree with sort of what I was being able to lip read from way down there on that. Higgins and Chase are fine. Chase ended up hitting the over on those receiving yards at the very end. He was under on the receptions in terms of that. But, yes, Higgins and Chase are fine. It is a 1A, 1A situation. Both those guys are wide receiver ones.
Yeah, with that, I mean, I gave out under 73.5 yards for Ja'Marr Chase on the show last night. He had 8 yards at the half going into the last drive. There's 2.5 minutes left, and they're running out the clock, and he's got 45 yards. And then Zach Taylor, the most conservative coach in football, throws a go route down the left sideline for a 35-yard bomb. So there is a little bit of, I've got a thing with Zach
Bitterness.
Taylor now.
Yeah. Bad beats for the boys here. But that's to me, Connor, what my takeaway and Jay's takeaway is.
Yeah, and if you're hoping for this run game to get going, I think the one number that stood out to me, guys, PFF has Mixon averaging less than a yard before contact. Basically, when he gets the ball, he's hit. So that speaks more about the situation around him right now than Joe Mixon himself, while I don't really trust this to get that much better for the run game.
They tried to improve the offensive line in the offseason, and through four games, it doesn't appear that they have. They've spent a lot more money, but I don't know that they have improved in terms of the run game.
Sometimes,
it's like us here. Like this table is expensive. It's a lot more expensive.
Yeah, this is Lyle Collins.
What's the table joke?
You know what? That's the new name for this table. It's Lyle Collins.
Yeah, it's Lyle Collins.
We're sitting here, Lyle.
Yeah.
It doesn't move.
It does. Now, look how massive it is.
Yes. All right.
Wait, you could actually fit an Applebee's in this table. Like we should have like a pop-up Applebee's, like literally in this table.
A buffet.
Yeah, a buffet.
With a drink dispenser. Just all right, let's get into some Roto World headlines, then we'll get back to the table jokes once again. We'll take those breaks. Fellas, let's start with the Saints, who have just had a plethora of injury problems that seems like it's all coming to a head right now. Jameis Winston is doubtful with the back injury. Michael Thomas is officially out for week four. Putting those two guys away, what does this mean for Chris Olave playing now with Andy Dalton taking all the first team reps this week?
Well, it's a glass half full, glass half empty kind of thing here, right? So on the positives here, we don't expect Michael Thomas to play. You know, Dennis Allen came out and already announced that he was not going to play.
Yeah, he's out.
He's officially been ruled out. So we expect a higher target share for Chris Olave. Having said that, those targets are coming from Andy Dalton, who is, you know, dump off Dalton, right? He is not going to chuck it deep the way that Jameis has. As we've talked about, through the first three games, it's been full-on Jameis, the full Jameis experience. And that's been beneficial to Chris Olave, who leads the NFL in total air yards. Is the second most air yards per target among wide receivers. I don't think he's going. Dalton isn't as good as Winston, and he certainly isn't as aggressive either. As we see some practice throws here. Here he is.
Letting it rip.
Oh, wow.
Letting it rip like a red 5 yard out in a red jersey with no pressure. He still looks slow. But look, this is like.
It's London. Is that a soccer
this is
player?
In London. Like, they're on the pitch. They're on the pitch in London.
About to play a match.
Dalton literally looks slow. I mean, like, anyway. the fact is I think that if we had Winston and Michael Thomas, we would be all in on him as maybe as a top 12, 15 play. To me, I think he's more of a top 30 play. I think Olave is still somewhere in that 20 to 30 range. Upside because of more targets with no Thomas, but downside because I think he's got a quarterback downgrade. Ultimately, my guess is that if you've been starting Chris Olave, I'm still starting him, but I think there's less floor and less upside than there was with Jameis Winston.
I think it's just a bummer for Jameis Winston as well, because he was, like we talked about yesterday, 2019, he was the third-ranked quarterback in fantasy, and the worry was that it was going to be like last year, where they go into the season going half Jameis. You never want to go half Jameis. You always want to go full Jameis, and Chris Olave was reaping those benefits, and now it's just a new ball game, but Alvin Kamara should benefit for sure.
It's a big Alvin Kamara game, I believe, in this one, again, with dump-off Dalton and the Vikings. By the way, Kamara made my love list this week. We talked about him yesterday on the show as well. I think this is Alvin Kamara's week.
All right. One thing for you, Jay. Olave's been averaging over 19 yards, average depth of target. Yeah. We know that's coming down now. How does that impact his rookie of the year chase? Because he's kind of been in the thick of it.
Yeah, he wants Jameis Winston back. There are too many good receivers. Drake London, who's basically the joint favorite with Olave. Your man, Garrett Wilson. Another of your guys I want to talk about later in the show, Breece Hall.
Absolutely.
He's very live for that as well. And yeah, he needs that depth. He needs Jameis airing it out. Otherwise, he's just another guy in the pack, the very talented pack.
All right.
But one thing we want to talk about here is we mentioned, like, if I'm in a deeper league and I need quarterbacks and maybe Winston gets waived because of this, I do think, again, so he's not playing this game against the Vikings on Saturday. Sunday morning in London, sorry. But then think about this. Home to Seattle, home to Cincinnati, at Arizona, home to Las Vegas, home to Baltimore. Every single one of those teams you can throw on, right? And he's playing at home in four of the next five. So I do think Jameis Winston, assuming he comes back from this, is a very viable streamer here. Week 10, he's at Pittsburgh. The Steelers haven't been able. They made Jacoby Brissett look useful last week. It's not until weeks 11 and 12 when he plays the Rams at home and at San Francisco, week 13 at Tampa Bay. It gets a little bit tough there starting in week 11, and then they have the bye in week 14. So, but I think he's going to be useful here for the middle of the season.
Incredible schedule. And also, if this injury lingers, I think Andy Dalton will be streamable as well as a quarterback potentially, just given that there's still Olave, Thomas will come back, Landry, Alvin Kamara. He should be useful enough.
I'm sorry. It's the table. It sounded like you said Andy Dalton will be useful. I'm sorry. We got to get a shorter table so I can hear you correctly. I know you didn't.
He didn't actually.
Is that Matthew Berry? Is that the fantasy football guy? Yeah, there you go.
Jay! How are you?
The biggest injury of the week, guys, has to be Amon-Ra St. Brown being out.
He's actually right, by
it's
the
official.
Way. And two I'm just making fun, but like, two quarterback leagues. Like, Andy Dalton can be useful. Yeah. Like, he's fine.
Yep.
He's fine.
Headline, Matthew Berry, fire up Red Rifle in all fantasy formats.
I did not say that.
Every single format. At Matthew Berry is on Twitter right now. Amon-Ra St. Brown with the ankle is officially out for week four. brutal if you have Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's been a beast. But more importantly for this week now, we've kind of been on the Jared Goff streamer train here a little bit. I believe he is on the love list for you recently. How does this impact Goff? This is his guy. This is his volume guy.
It definitely does not help Jared Goff as well. So I'm trying to find here we go. Okay, so I had them text me some stats. But listen, last week, after Amon-Ra St. Brown left the game, he got his ankle taped up, he came back up, but he's mostly used as a decoy. After he left, Josh Reynolds, 8 targets, 4 for 73. DJ Chark just 1 for 6 on 4 targets. TJ Hockenson, 2 for 13 on 3 targets. So if you are looking for a replacement wide receiver, also kind of a cheap play in DFS, I do think Josh Reynolds is useful this week against the Seattle Seahawks. Also remember, the Seahawks really struggle and with a linebacker play. You can attack them with your tight ends. I think it's a big TJ Hockenson week. Of course, no DeAndre Swift here, but certainly you don't love this. 43% of Jared Goff's touchdown passes so far this year have gone to our sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I think this is more, I think it's Reynolds, it's Hockenson. Seahawks have allowed the third most yards to opposing tight ends. It's, you know, that's my concern.
Yeah, I've always liked Josh Reynolds. Always thought he's solid, but I think him being the number one wide receiver, it's kind of like...
I did. Former Texas A&M Aggie Josh Reynolds. Let's go, Gingham Aggs.
Obviously, he's not very well cast as being the number one guy. It's like having Aaron Paul leading an action movie for you, which I guess happened with Nathan Smith. Yeah, I like Aaron Paul a lot. It's just, you know, he's not Justin Jefferson or whatever.
I understand.
He's a slightly better version of Josh Reynolds. But look, the market is certainly...
Cut to Aaron Paul being like, why am I getting trapped?
This is the worst stray of all time.
I'm just saying, this guy's like Tom Cruise leading action movies, and there's Aaron Paul leading action movies.
What do you have
Tom
against Jesse Pinkman?
Amon-Ra St.
Brown. I don't
understand.
All right, fine.
But look, this Detroit offense has been elite. 7th by DVOA in offense, and Amon-Ra St. Brown has been arguably the biggest part of that.
Yeah.
And now the market certainly respects Amon-Ra St. Brown because the line has dropped from Detroit -6 to now Detroit -4 against Seattle. So
that's a big switch for a wide receiver. Do you think is it St. Brown or is it St. Brown and Swift?
St. Brown and Swift, and I think 6 is probably just a little bit too big as an opener anyway, so it probably should have been 5.5, and then Amon-Ra and Swift are worth like 1.5 points to the line combined. So that's in there, and if you don't think that's right, then go bet the lines -4.
At BetMGM, please. That's
at
what
BetMGM.
We do. At BetMGM. Real quickly, I'll just say this, that I feel like Jared Goff is still like a viable streamer this week. Still playing against Seattle. Still at home against Seattle. Seattle's like, you know, a bottom 12 pass defense so far this year. You know, and they haven't. Seattle's a bottom 12 pass defense, and they played like, you know, like Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and like Garoppolo. Like, I think Jared Goff will still be fine, but certainly lower expectations.
I feel bad about the Aaron Paul comment. I want to take that back. He's a lot better than Josh Reynolds.
It's already
clipped
out.
On my record that I'm anti-Aaron Paul.
It's clipped out. He's tagged in
it. It's done.
It's tough for you, Jay. All right, guys, time for the most consistent part of the week besides Barry saying he's a company man. Christian McCaffrey, how much did he or did he not practice this week? He returned to practice today with the quad injury after not practicing Wednesday and Thursday. You drafted him. Barry, this is just what you have to deal with, right?
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, you're happy that he is back at practice. He's officially questionable. My expectation here is that he play. Matt Rhule said, quote, he is, quote, very hopeful about his availability. My expectation here is, at least as we sit here today, is that he plays and that he plays well. Like, they're at home to Arizona. The Cardinals haven't been able to stop anyone. The volume has been there for Christian McCaffrey. And has he had the monster games that we had hoped? Not yet, but... For the most part, he's been playing, he's getting the volume, and on an offense where not much is going right, McCaffrey's been fine. There are worse first round picks than Christian McCaffrey this year.
Yep, no concerns about McCaffrey until we see it on the field be concerning, because he's looked exactly as you would hope so far.
All right, we're gonna take a break, but when we return,
Jay, go long.
Sit and start flex players when we're back.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Oh, it's definitely a rivalry game. Every time I play Watson, you know, They're going to bring it. You always have a tough defense, you know, rooted around that D-line. You know, we built ourselves off the O-line. They built themselves on a D-line. And so, you know, it's always going to be a good matchup.
It is Flex Friday. We have plenty of sit, start, flex players to go through.
And you don't actually need muscles to flex, right?
No.
You can just, this is what I'm doing. I have huge muscles. The shirt's loose. Trust me.
Next time you put a little padding in there.
I'll never forget. One time, I used to work with Merrill Hodge, former NFL running back.
Oh, yeah.
Merrill's awesome. And Merrill at ESPN used to have these, like, he always had the tightest shirts. And he had the big tie, you know, he had the knot in the tie. And
yeah.
It always looked great. Merrill looked great. And I remember one time, like, this is like my first week or so at ESPN or something like that. Maybe I've been there a month. And I'm like, Merrill, man. Like, and my shirt's always baggy and everything like that. I'm like, Merrill, how do you get your shirt so tight? You always look so good on air. How do you get your shirt so tight like that? And he just looks at me. He's like, do a couple bench presses, son. Do a couple bench presses. And he walks off. And I'm just like, all right, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Exactly. Fair enough. You're a former NFL running back, and I'm not. I got it. Understood. And I was like, all right, baggy shirts for me here on out.
Yeah, yeah. You pass on the bench presses.
I'll never forget that. But for the record, by the way, I love Merrill Hodge. Like, the sweetest guy. Like, I'm a, you know, he's a good friend. Like, he's awesome. But anyway.
And endless tips for Flex Friday,
no
which
doubt.
Is also what we need you for right now. So let's start your Commanders at Dallas this week. Starting with Dallas, this backfield, we talk about it nonstop. Ezekiel Elliott, obviously not a flex player, higher upside than that. But with him and Tony Pollard, what are your expectations right now? As Pollard has not been used in the pass game as much as we had hoped preseason.
Yeah, I mean, to me, my concern here is with Pollard, two or fewer targets in two of the three games, right? Ezekiel Elliott actually ran twice as many routes in week three. He's lined up wider in the slot for only 20 plays so far this season. And candidly, I think they're going to be up in this game. Cowboys are significant favorites in this game. My Commanders can't stop anyone. They're brutal. And so game script doesn't look like, if there was a week for Pollard to get involved in the passing game, doesn't feel like this is it, especially given the fact that there's a chance that we get Michael Gallup back, and we hope Dalton Schultz is back as well. So for me, I have him as running back 28, Pollard. Like, I think he's a low-end flex. And I think that both with him and Zeke, they're both touchdown-dependent flexes. And I would prefer Ezekiel Elliott in this one. He comes in at as running back 16 for me, like more of a touchdown-dependent RB2, because we feel like the volume here with Ezekiel Elliott, we expect that, again, in positive game script, because Zeke is getting work. He's had at least 16 touches each of the last 2 weeks. Right? I mean, he's also not being involved in the passing game, but, like, if they get in close, who do you expect to score the touchdown? It's Ezekiel Elliott. And they should be up in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it at the end there with Zeke and his lack of involvement in the passing game. Like, that's the surprising thing, is that he had 77 receptions in 2018. This year he's got 3 for -5 yards.
Yeah.
That's less than 0.
Wow.
That's bad. Bret Easton Ellis, Ezekiel Elliott, less than 0.
Less than 0. Well,
so
done.
I think that both of these running backs are just kind of capped by their situation at the moment, and yet they're both flex guys, and you just kind of hope that you guess right and one of them gets in the end zone or goes off.
Right. And I prefer Ezekiel Elliott by a significant margin. Again, running back 16, Pollard, I am is 28. I think Zeke has sort of settled in as kind of more of a touchdown-dependent RB2, but the volume is there, and I think there's a pretty good chance he gets into the end zone against my pathetic Washington Commanders.
Well, staying right
Washington
with those.
Washington Commanders defense. My pathetic
yes.
Washington Commanders defense.
So let's talk about the offense then.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson, who you have closely ranked to Zeke, and, of course, Terry McLaurin, who it's kind of been an odd season for him so far in terms of volume. Gibson and McLaurin, are they both flex-worthy? I would assume yes, but how high-end can they be?
I have Gibson at 27, and he makes me nervous, right?
Okay.
Every week since week one, his touches and targets have declined. He's been under 60 rushing yards in all three games this season, and you saw last week when they were getting blown up by Philadelphia, J.D. McKissick actually, you know, was the more productive running back. He was on the field more. They were using more in the passing game, and I think that's what happens here. Again, you just sort of have to – how do you think this game plays out here? Washington, you know, they're underdogs in this game, you know, more than a field goal underdogs in this game, and so – Gibson makes me nervous. I think he is a low-floor flex. I'm at running back 27. I'm more optimistic about Terry McLaurin. Again, We expect him to be passing and passing a ton. He's had 100% route participation among all wide receivers, 75 yards or a touchdown in all three games so far this season. They're going to be throwing a lot. Yes, he'll see some Trayvon Diggs, but as we've talked about with Diggs, Diggs is both really good and also takes a lot of chances, right? And so that's all you need is one, is like he tries to jump around a little bit too early and they catch him flat-footed. McLaurin has played well against Dallas over his career when he's had worse quarterback play and less target competition, but also, you know, more defensive attention. So given the given Curtis Samuel, given John Dotson, I think he'll find himself in single coverage some this game, and they'll take advantage of that. McLaurin's wide receiver 24 for me. Generally, if you've been starting him so far this week, I'm starting him again.
Yeah, I mean, Carson Wentz was sacked 9 times against the Eagles, so good news.
Only 9?
Micah Parsons is in town. He's not very good, so I'm sure Carson Wentz will be fine there. But look, the one thing about Dallas last year is that they were really vulnerable to deep passes, largely because of trick-or-treat Trayvon Diggs. But this year they've kind of fixed that up a little bit. And it's only a 3-game sample, so we'll see what happens there. But I do think you can run on the Cowboys. The Bucs ran on them effectively. Saquon, who is a different kind of player to Antonio Gibson, clearly, but still the Giants ran effectively. So I would look at Antonio Gibson as maybe the guy over McLaurin. But yeah, I wouldn't be too optimistic about the Commanders.
I agree you can absolutely run on Dallas. They're 23rd against the run over the last 3 weeks. My concern is like, do they have to abandon the run?
Yep.
Because overall it's a really good defense, to your point. Carson Wentz has been a turnover machine so far this year, even in the good games. Like, even in the game when they won against Jacksonville, he still threw two awful interceptions as well. And so I'm just worried, right, again. And a lot of those 9 sacks from last week were on Carson Wentz.
Yep.
And so I think they're going to tee off on him. And my fear is that maybe there's an easy defensive touchdown. I like the Cowboys defense quite a bit this week. And that they bail on establishing the run, as it were. As you just saw some production there from Terry McLaurin on your screen. Terry McScorn, as I like to call him. But I think what you're saying is you think Gibson is a viable flex. I agree with you that he's a viable flex, but I also think there's less of a floor there than most starting running backs, because they could easily abandon the run pretty quickly and just go all passing with McKissick.
Yep, I just think Cooper Rush probably not going to run away with the game into a 3-touchdown lead or anything like that. So hopefully it is close enough that they can still run the ball. But it could fall out completely. And also, Brian Robinson might be back pretty soon.
That's
so Antonio Gibson wants to play pretty well this week.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, battle of the MVP candidates, the Bills 3-point favorites going to Baltimore. Let's start right there with the Bills. Motor Singletary, you have him as RB24 going into week 4. How do you like him as a flex play this week?
I like him a lot. I mean, you know, I mean, I have Singletary pretty high this week, right? You know, I'm at 24. And so, you know, my take here is that last week we saw him get it used in the passing game in a significant way. Career highs in targets and receptions last week, played on nearly 75% of the snaps. And so in close games, in games in which they need to, as you see it here on your screen, last week, 9 rushing attempts, 13 rushing yards, okay, whatever. But 9 receptions and 78 receiving yards. He also scores the touchdown through the air. 24.1 fantasy points against the Dolphins. That was a game in which, now, the Bills threw it 60 times in that game. Right, so and we don't expect that kind of volume, but the fact is that was the first game where the Bills were tested and where they had to try to move the ball, and so Devin Singletary is a big part of the passing game. Ravens allow 5 yards per carry to opposing running backs. They've given up the 3rd most receptions to opposing running backs so far this year. We expect the Ravens to be in this game. This one to be a close one, especially when you consider how beat up the Bills' secondary is. So I think the Ravens are able to move the ball here. And so they're going to have to throw, especially, by the way, we got news just before the show that Gabe Davis re-injured the ankle. He is questionable for this game. We don't know if he's going to be available or not, but if Gabe Davis is not out there or at less than 100%, it gives even more credence to the idea that Singletary used more in the passing attack.
Yeah, I think that everything points to a big Devin Singletary game. I think that the Ravens, they give up an incredible amount of receptions to running backs, and also
their linebackers
have the efficiency.
Are vulnerable. Yeah.
Very vulnerable. And also the total for this game is 51, which is the highest of the week. So there's going to be a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns to be found.
Yep.
All right, staying with the Bills here, and we talked about Gabe Davis already. That's just up in the air. But Dawson Knox, it's been a disappointing year for those that drafted Dawson Knox. Right now, you have him as tight end 14. at what point is he borderline just not trustworthy as a playable tight end option?
It's now.
We're here, right?
We're here. Yeah. We're here. You are here. I mean,
sunk
it's like,
cost.
Huh?
Sunk cost.
Sunk cost. You know, the big maps, like where you're in like a big space and you're looking at a map, like you are here. We need that for this table, by the way, just so you can find yourself in this table. Just like if we could get that for Monday, just a big map of the table and like little red dots, so we each know where we are in respect to each other. But we're here there with Dawson Knox as well in terms of like basically a touchdown dependent tight end too. He's my tight end 14 for the week. He's had 11 targets in three games. Like 11 targets is nice for one game, but 11 targets over three games, it's not ideal. He's been held to under 45 yards in every single game, and it's not like the Bills' offense has struggled. They've been putting up points left and right. I mean, again, think about this. They threw it 60 times last week. They threw it 60 times last week, and yet Dawson Knox was tight end 22 in week three. And so he's touchdown dependent. That's what you're hoping for. He's not even a top 22 tight end this year on a points per game basis. He is touchdown dependent. Now, again, if you're in that range, better hit. You know, you'd rather the tight end that's playing for Josh Allen, a team that we think is going to score a lot of points in a game, to Jay's point, that has a very high over-under. But that's what he is. He's a touchdown dependent tight end, too, that can easily get you 4.5 points.
9 games in a row, he hasn't topped 5 targets. There's just no ceiling there. It's incredible that Josh Allen has a chance to throw for near 6,000 yards this year, and Dawson Knox still isn't going to be viable. He's just in that dead zone with Albert O and Cole Kmet and these guys who you just don't really want any part of unless you have to.
Yeah, it seems like they paid him because they love his blocking and there's receiving upside that they don't need to rely on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he had a great year last year, but it was all very touchdown influenced, right? And so I wouldn't put him in the category of Cole Kmet. I mean, you know, like, I mean, because well, Dawson Knox has caught a pass this year, right?
Got a couple last week.
He's category.
He's like, building. Two anyway, catches, I want to say, like 20 yards.
You know, one's on the field with Josh Allen, one's on the field with Justin Fields. Sure. But anyway, we both agree here is that starting Dawson Knox this week is not for the faint of heart. That's what you're hoping for, a touchdown.
I think the Ravens side of this game is much more interesting because their offense is Lamar Jackson, and then everything else is this mystery. So when you look at Rashad Bateman, who's kind of been absent for two of the three games in terms of targets, and then J.K. Dobbins, who's still working his way back, do you even play these guys at this point, or you're just constantly waiting and seeing with the Baltimore offense?
I'm playing Rashad Bateman. Again, he's lower for me, right, than I think, you know, I would like. But, again, high over-under in this game. We expect a lot of points to be scored. To your point about Lamar Jackson, you think about that Bills secondary, right? Micah Hyde not going to play in this one, right? You know, Tre'Davious White still on the physically unable to perform list. Like, it's a secondary that's you know, that's playing above expectations,
yeah,
but it is still
with
beat
rookies
up. And so, you know, this is a guy in Rashad Bateman who leads the NFL in yards per reception. He's got a 17.5 average depth of target. Like, they're chucking it deep. So Bateman's one of those guys that all he needs is one play. In the game with a over-under, you said it's 51.5 now. It's up to 51.5. Yeah, I'm willing to take a chance on Bateman as a wide receiver 3.
Jay, do you think this lives up to shootout expectations?
I think it will. I just think Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, they're just unsolvable. They're both defense agnostic guys. It doesn't matter the opposing defense because they're just too good. Do you think with Rashad Bateman, there's a little bit of a concern. He's only got 8 catches on the season. He is boom or bust, and he's
100%.
Relied on 75-yard house call against the Dolphins, the 55-yard bomb against the Jets.
Yeah, big plays.
Which,
big plays.
I mean, he makes those plays. That's a part of the Rashad Bateman experience, but at the same time, it would be nice if he could, you know, have more than 8 catches in 3 games.
There's no question about it. There is not a floor. I mean, this is why we're talking about him on Flex Friday. Like, I mean, you guys don't need us to sit here and be like, start Josh Allen. You know, who I love this week is Lamar Jackson. Mark Andrews should be in your lineup. You don't need us doing that. So we're taking on the tough questions.
That's
we're taking
we're
on
here.
A tough table and a tough questions. That's what we're doing right here. That's right. A lot of you know what? It'd be easy. It'd be easy
go.
To be at a comfortable table and just talk about like the quarterbacks and the obvious stars, but not us at the happy hour. No. That's why we drink heavily, because we are going to like, you know, make the tough calls, right? You know, like we're like, all right, fine. You know, drink up and let's go. Bottoms up, baby. That's right.
All right. Tough calls. Chargers at Texans.
Yeah,
plenty of
Friday
tough calls
flex.
In this game.
Flex Friday.
Flex Friday. This is the Flex Friday game.
So, again, Bateman, to your point, it depends on – I'll just talk philosophy for 1 second before we move on. I just want to say that I feel like that it depends – when you're getting your flex, what do you need, right? You know, are you down big? Did you, like, face T. Higgins, you know, and – And Joe Burrow from Thursday night, are you down big? Like, are, you know, or like you and you face like Kamara as well, and you're like, and he has a big game Sunday morning, and you're like, I got to swing for the fences. Bateman's more of a play, but if you like, if you have T. Higgins and you're up big or something like that, you know, you played, you started Higgins and you played against a guy who has Tua, you know, and hit Tua and Waddle, and you're like, I'm feeling pretty good. I want more of a floor play at my flex. You know, maybe you pivot somewhere else.
So I love when Matthew talks philosophy, goes into Friedrich Berry mode. Plato Berry.
It's 1,000%, right? I'm gonna be naked and sitting here on the chair on the next segment.
Well, you can spread out like on the table.
Go like full. The philosopher. What's that? You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking
statue.
About. The name escapes me, but I can. Yeah. I think everyone can visualize it right
man,
now.
What is it? So research will get on that. I didn't pay attention to that class, but I'm merely saying that I think that your line of decisions, especially at the flex spot, depend a lot on your matchup. What has happened prior to you making that choice? So in this game, we'll have two games. You know, we'll have the Thursday game and the Sunday morning game. So anyway.
All right, what everybody's been waiting for, Chargers at Texans. Justin Herbert fully cleared now, which is a great sign for the Chargers offense. But I think some of the big questions start with Houston. Damian Pierce coming in as RB25 for you for the summer. Obvious flex upside here. But is it touchdown dependent with Pierce for you?
I don't think so. I mean, again, like he's just getting so much volume, right? There's been 38 running back carries for the Houston Texans over the last 2 weeks, and he's seen 35 of them. The concern here, if there is one concern, that is that they could get down big to the Chargers. They haven't really been tested by a good offense yet, the Texans defense, right? I mean, they played like, you know, they played the Colts, and they played like the, you know, the Broncos. And
the Bears.
And the Bears, right? So they haven't been tested. So if they're down big, Pierce, who has not had any passing game involvement so far this year, could get phased out. So much as like we talked about with Antonio Gibson earlier in the show, the concern here is, does Damian Pierce, you know, again, I think he's a viable flex, but there is less of a floor here than you might expect for a starting running back.
Yeah, he's a bit of a conundrum because he's obviously getting the volume, and that's exactly what you want. And he's really good, but at the same time, just game script is just going to kill him week after week. I mean, last year, the Texans had 8 rushing touchdowns. Yeah. They ran for 3.4 yards per carry. They're averaging 83 yards a game. Like, there's just nothing there. And the Chargers are now 6-point favorites.
All right, looking over on the Chargers side, Mike Williams has 15 yards or less in 2 of the 3 games this year. Week 1 was the dud. Week 2 was the bounce back. Week 3, the Mike Williams roller coaster. How do you play it? Because you drafted him to play him.
You just got to start him.
Yeah.
Mike Williams, you cannot guess, oh, this is a Mike Williams week, this isn't.
No,
like, with Mike Williams, it's just,
insane.
I'm in or I'm out. And so I think if you've drafted him, I think you need to be in. This should be a good game against the Texans. I'm in.
Yeah, I think the one concern about the Chargers overall now is that this offensive line, which is looking much improved, now it's back to the Phil Rivers days. It's
decimated
again.
Rashawn Slater, yeah.
He's done. He's one of the best offensive linemen in the league. The Storm Norton show, which apparently isn't coming, it's not being renewed for season 2 because he's not even going to play. They've benched Storm Norton. They've benched the guy behind Rashawn Slater because he was so bad. So that is just one concern. And then obviously Herbert's ribs too, but you have to play Mike Williams.
But worth noting, no Jalen Guyton in this game.
Yep.
We don't expect Keenan Allen to play, so maybe more of a narrow target tree for the pass catchers like Mike Williams, like Josh Palmer, like Gerald Everett.
Yeah, without Keenan Allen, do you go back to Josh Palmer again?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
When Keenan Allen's out,
you start Josh Palmer, especially in a favorable matchup. No injury designation for Justin Herbert. We know he's going to be in the flak jacket. We know he's going to be in pain. But the fact is, like, he's not even listed as probable or questionable. No injury designation for Herbert, who has practiced all week. Hopefully, he'll be a little bit better against the Texans.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we're back, what we're watching for in Week 4. Plenty of Jets, Bucks, Chiefs, and the Niners.
I'm still in on Gerald Everett, too, by the way. Start him.
Always.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Be sure to check out our new Sunday show, Fantasy Football Pregame, at 11 a.m. live on Peacock. It's a one-stop shop for your NFL fantasy and betting needs. Get your sit star questions answered using the hashtag FFPregame.
You know, Jay Croucher and I went 8-4 on Prop-A-Shot
Not bad.
On Prop a Shot last week. I'm just saying, we're making people money, stealing that money, not stealing, earning that money from BetMGM. That's literally Jay Croucher and I's entire goal this year, is to get as much of BetMGM's money in our pockets and our viewers' pockets. And then when we have that profit, we will buy a proper table. That's what we're doing. Like, I've thought about starting a GoFundraiser, but no, we're going to this. I'm just, you know what? I'm going to use BetMGM money to buy this show a proper table.
All right. They might recast you guys for the remake of The Town at this point with how you're doing.
The Town. One of the most underrated films of the past 15 years. A really solid film. Very rewatchable as well.
Very watchable.
I got nothing bad to say about The Town.
Right, well,
I'm not going to spoil it because it came out this century.
Yeah, there you go.
So everyone can watch Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, not needing to know about what happened to Ben Affleck and Jeremy Renner and co.
Okay. By the way, very quickly, NBCSportsEdge.com tweeting out, Todd Bowles calling Chris Godwin and Julio Jones game time decisions. So we will check that out. We will see what happens there. Sunday night game right here on NBC and Peacock, right?
That's right. All right, we are going to get to the Bucks in just a moment. But before we do, we are starting with the Jets. I don't think that's just because I'm here, but we are starting with the Jets.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson.
Why talk about Tom Brady when we talk about Zach
that's
Wilson?
That's exactly right. Zach Wilson is back, and his offensive coordinator did talk about him this week. Seems pretty excited by his return.
It's cool. It's just cool for him, you know. Any, whether it's Zach or anyone that's missed time because of injury, I mean, you just want to see him on the grass, you know. And so he gets to be out there. He put in a lot of work to put himself in this position to get back. You know, I don't think anyone really knew after after the injury, particularly right when it happened, what was going to happen, you know, and how long he was going to be out. So to get him back and going into week four, and I know he feels 100% healthy, and he's going to go play his game.
LaFleur took your hat over the face style from week one. He must be watching the happy hour.
Yeah,
here.
Probably. I like it. I like it a lot. And I think we're all excited. Listen, Zach Wilson on the grass, so much better than like Zach Wilson in your mom's kitchen, right? I mean, let's be clear, right? It's a better place for Zach Wilson
to be.
Keep
Zach
on the field.
For the sake of America.
Yeah, exactly. For the sake of, 100%.
Moms across America.
Moms across America.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right. Well, with Wilson's return, we're looking at both Breece Hall and Michael Carter. The Steelers defense, obviously, especially without T.J. Watt, pretty vulnerable group. My take is the Jets are going to take the ball out of Wilson's hands in this return. I think it's going to be a slow ramp up. When you hear something like that, what is your take on Hall and Carter? We're both factored in this offense.
Yeah, I like Breece Hall. I mean, I think that I didn't love his ADP preseason, but I certainly now, if you wound up with him, I mean, you know, Breece Hall was a top 13 fantasy running back last week, and Michael Carter was running back 50, right? He's averaging 5.3 yards per carry. He's got a 14% target share in this game. He's had a 60 or more scrimmage yards in every game he's played so far this season. He's playing a lot more snaps than Michael Carter is. Season high, 51% snap rate over Michael Carter here. So Steelers, bottom 10 in the NFL in terms of most receptions and yards per reception allowed to opposing running backs. Apologies. So I do think Breece Hall is viable this week. Made the love list of those receiving votes this week.
Connor, plus 1,400. Breece Hall, Offensive Rookie of the Year. You like that? You're a Jets guy?
I do like it. I mean, they're obviously starting to shift more towards him. Flacco missed him on a wheel route, should be touchdown last week. So these numbers can look a lot different. If you factored in a 30-yard touchdown, he was wide open. So I think the most important thing is the Jets are going to, one, run the ball with Zach Wilson a ton, and two, start to shift those runs to Breece. And the rookie of the year field is just so wide open. We talked about Olave starting to go down a little bit. Obviously, Garrett Wilson is on this team, but
we'll see. What would be really interesting here is what happens with Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis. Elijah Moore was not good last year when Wilson was under center.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, different offense, second year. I don't know. For me, I just think this is one of those wait and see. Ideally, you're not starting any of the – one of them will have a decent game here because it's not a bad matchup against Pittsburgh. But whether – I couldn't – we just don't know. We need to see. So, anyway.
All right.
I just – hopefully, we just – it's a wait and see approach with the Jets wide receivers.
All right, we teased it at the top. The Bucs offense, Mike Evans is back. Julio Jones and Chris Godwin, nobody knows at this moment. Both questionable going into this game. Tom Brady right now, really, really slow, uncharacteristic start for Brady. With Evans back, is he going to be on track?
We certainly hope so. I mean, listen, I'm as a borderline top 10 play here. We expect a lot of fireworks in this game, right? This should be two pretty good offenses in the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Last I saw, over-under was 45.
45 and a half.
45. Yep. It ticked up a little bit to 45 and a half. So
You know what? I have Brady's QB 10 so far this week. It's worth noting Kansas City has allowed 7 passing touchdowns this season. That's second most in the NFL. And it's not like they face, you know, they did face Herbert, but they also faced Matt Ryan, yep, you know, last week. So I think this is a get-right game for Tom Brady, especially if he gets Godwin or Julio Jones back. We know he does get Mike Evans back. We saw signs of life from Russell Gage last week. Fournette will keep him honest. So I do like Tom Brady this week as a borderline QB1.
Yeah, I think like it's a bit jarring to see Mahomes v. Brady on Sunday Night Football to be only a 45.5 total, where 48 was the average total last season. Same as last week, where Rodgers v. Brady was only 42. But like these are kind of defensive teams at the moment. Kansas City has a better defensive DVOA than offensive, but I think that particularly Brady should be in a much better get-right spot. I think he's just a product of his context. He looks like he kind of did in 2019 with the Patriots, where he didn't have weapons. He still looks like the same guy. It's just guys aren't getting open. With Evans back, you would expect the ceiling to rise.
Yeah, and I mean, it's worth noting, Kansas City allowing the 4th highest catch rate to wide receivers this season. You know, Evans right back into your lineup.
All right, staying in this game with the Chiefs offense, we have two guys that I want to know if they are flex viable. Juju Smith-Schuster coming in as wide receiver 36 for you, and then, of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming in as RB28 for you.
Yeah, so Juju I'm in on, right? I mean, again, I think that the way you attack Tampa Bay's defense is in the middle of the field. I mean, you know, Dean and Davis have played really good on the perimeter, and so Juju, who has 75 or more yards and 8 targets in 2 of the 3 games that he's played so far this year. He had that dud against the Chargers, but that was a short week. Chargers are very good defense. So are the Buccaneers, obviously, as well. But his 18% target share ranks 2nd on the team. He's not getting a lot of red zone looks, but I'm in on Juju this week. I am, however, out on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. 8 carries or less in every game this year. He's been kept afloat by his touchdowns, and he has the 2nd most receiving yards among running backs. Having said that, though, Jerick McKinnon has played 11 more snaps than CEH. This is much more of a committee than I think the box score indicates, and I'm nervous about Clyde Edwards-Helaire because the Tampa Bay's, as we've talked about, Tampa Bay has really shut down pass-catching running backs.
Yeah, just one thing. If Kansas City, if they don't have a good offensive game, and it's the Bucs defense, so kind of measure a little bit, but they haven't been an amazing offense this year. So that's just one thing to watch with the absence of Tyreek Hill.
Speaking of an offense struggling that we usually have high expectations for, the Niners taking on the Rams defense. Everyone's been down so far for this offense. Now they're week 2 of Jimmy G starting the game. How do you weigh the Niners offense, especially Kittle and Debo right now?
I mean, I think you got to start him.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, you don't have a better option at tight end than Kittle. I know it's been, you know, he's been injured and then bad week last week, but I think you got to start him. And Debo's been fine. 21 targets so far this season. You know, last 3 games against the Rams, by the way, 26.4 fantasy points per game. So even when they know it's coming, Debo still finds a way to produce. But everyone else, I sort of want to take a wait-and-see approach. I don't mind Jeff Wilson Jr. as a running back. He's had 100 total yards each of the past 2 weeks. He's getting a lot of work. So he's more of a lower-end RB2 for me this week.
Brandon Ayuk theoretically should be the guy who benefits most from Jimmy G coming in over Trey Lance. He was Jimmy's favorite red zone target, so he's another guy to watch. He got in the end zone last week as well, so just one guy who I think has some upside.
But are you starting Ayuk this week?
Not with confidence. I don't want any part of these guys outside of Debo, and then you have to start Kittle and Wilson, but not expecting greatness.
Yeah, he's wide receiver 38 for me this week.
All right, one more break, and when we're back, it's time for Last Call. The NFL season is here, and the NBC Sports Predictor app is giving you a shot at winning $100,000 by entering Sunday Night 7's free contest between the Chiefs and the Bucks. So if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app, go download it now. It's free. Last call, guys. Essentially, Monday's headlines today. Yeah. Jay, I'll start with you.
By the way, you can get mail here. I've just been declared this table has its own zip code now. So just so you guys know, after the show, we'll get you the...
One last one in. See what he's got. Anything else?
Okay, you said Monday's headlines. That is more of a Tuesday headline because the game is Monday night. But the Los Angeles Rams will take control of the NFC West. They will beat the San Francisco 49ers. They're plus 105 on BetMGM. Don't understand this line at all. The Rams should be favored. Don't care that Kyle Kyle Shanahan is 6-1 against Sean McVay. Those games included Nick Mullins and Jared Goff. And also, they included Trent Williams and an offensive line that is now 80% gone from last year. That might be a problem against Aaron Donald. I just think the Rams are the better team. Home field advantage is only worth 1.5 points in the NFL these days. And so by that, BetMGM, who right now has the line at 1.5, are saying these two teams are dead even neutral field. I don't believe that. I think the Rams are the better team. They should be pick or favorite.
I like that quite a bit. I always like anytime after week three, anytime you get a team with a losing record that is giving points to a team with a winning record, give me the team with a winning record. It didn't work out last night because the Dolphins were getting, but I think that bet would have paid off had Tua stayed healthy here. Same situation where the Rams have a winning record, but yet they're getting points from the 1-2 Niners. I'm with you on the Rams. I also like the Broncos.
The Broncos are
underdogs to the Raiders. Okay, very quickly, my Monday headlines today. CNBC has a big new huge hit. That's right, because Fantasy Football Pregame is coming to CNBC as well. You can the final hour, 12-1, will be simulcast on CNBC. And also, Alvin Kamara is back. Again, Vikings have allowed 85-plus scrimmage yards to a running back every game this season. Dump off Dalton, to me, gets the ball to Kamara. It's a big game without Michael Thomas there. This is the Alvin Kamara game we've all been waiting for.
What's your headline, Connor?
All right, one quick one from me. We have no idea what the Patriots are going to do at quarterback, but on the other side, I see Romeo Doubs getting his first 100-yard game.
I like that.
Romeo Doubs, you could trust him as a wide receiver one for Green Bay going forward. Sammy Watkins on the IR. Alan Lazard questionable every single week.
Like this.
Is the Doubs show going forward.
There you go. All right. For Jay Croucher and Connor Rogers, I'm Matthew Berry. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I'm talking to you, Table. All right, we'll see you Sunday morning for Fantasy Football Pregame, 11 a.m. Eastern on Peacock. Peace out!